Warning. The episode you are about to listen to is for entertainment purposes only. If you are easily offended and do not have a bit of a dark, quirky sense of humor, this podcast may not be for you. All opinions expressed are just for fun. Get ready for some effing and jeffing with Kate and Mark in Back to Bond. Enjoy.
Hey, Bondies.
We are begging for cash, so if you think what we do is all right...
And you want to make a little donation...
Please go to buymeacoffee.com/backtobondpodcast.
Minimum donation is $5, which is around £3.95.
Thanks, Bondies.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond.
This is my lovely, glamorous niece,
Kate Nassau.
And we are here to review...
Octopussy!
Which is... What episode is this?
I want to say 11.
Is it?
No, it's not.
We're into the second Bond movie of the 80s Bonds.
Yes.
Because we've had For Your Eyes Only, ding, ding, ding. And now we're into the Octopussy.
Which is Rita Coolidge, an all-time high.
I like that. Actually, that was good harmony there. There was the, I like that song. I thought it was a really good song. And in America, because of the title of the movie, they done a whole interview with Roger Moore, and they referred to, so the new Bond movie is out at such and such. So when is the new Bond movie going to be? And they were trying desperately hard not to mention Octopussy. Till Roger, the little rake, turned around and said, "All this fuss over a little pussy." And I was telling you that 83 is the Battle of the Bonds.
Yes.
The Rogue Bond, Never Say Never Again, Sean Connery, remake of Thunderball.
As if we needed a remake of Thunderball.
Exactly. And it's actually worse.
We'll have to watch it.
We're going to have to watch it. We'll watch it and review it. Versus Octopussy with Roger Moore.
Who won? Who won between who Octopussy won? And...
Octopussy by a comfortable margin. I don't know the actual figures, but it was miles higher than Sean Connery's piss poor.
Never Say Never Again.
Never, please don't ever say. Send them checks back. Because it wasn't a great movie, even though Connery, I think, was younger than Roger.
Was he?
I think so. He looked older. I think it was 12 years after... You had Diamonds Are Forever, so you'd imagine, and it didn't look good.
It's a bit puffed out in a Diamonds Are Forever, so...
Yeah, by the time it came to Never Say Never Again, it wasn't a great movie. Kim Basinger, isn't it? That's the only thing. But anyway, they build them up against each other, which was ridiculous, because both of them were friends. And they, you know, they met up with a private members club and all that, before they started filming the adjacent Bond movies they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, you know, we can meet up and obviously like keep it friendly and all that. And they just had a laugh about it.
Oh.
But Connery never done a movie for a long, long time because they had to rewrite it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the script for this is quite a taunt.
Yeah. Octopussy, I feel like, I hate saying pussy because it sounds really weird when I say it. So octo in the puss.
Get that pussy out of your mouth.
So I hadn't seen Octopussy, but...
Oh, you hadn't, had you?
Nah, I hadn't seen it until now. But I've always heard of this film, whereas Never Say Never Again, until like maybe like 10 years ago, never heard it referred to.
Yeah.
So it definitely must have lost the Battle of the Bonds because no one ever mentions it.
Well, yeah, I think because it's not like class now, it was like everything's classed as canon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like proper like canon, but the same as the comedy Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Although I think they got bought up by Eon, which does all of the main ones, you know, the proper franchise thing. But I think they just bought them up because it had the James Bond name and it'd come out of copyright.
Oh.
You know what I mean? We both enjoyed Octopussy.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite lovably daft.
I liked it. It's definitely daft, but it had some real... Mm-hmm. Like, that Cold War shit, that was really going on.
Oh, God, yeah,
so
yeah,
it wasn't that far out of the realms.
Yes. Obviously, you would watch For Your Eyes Only, the last one.
Yeah.
And that was a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Where this one, they must have thought, right, we'll inject a bit more comedy. But it had a good balance between the comedy and the action. And it felt more like an all-round Bond movie because you had the laughter and the daft bits in it. But as you say, a good little plot that kind of ties it all.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard plot, even when they've got the Russian element.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because
the plot is against smuggling, so it's similar to the previous one, but yeah, then you've got the Russian threat that's embroiled in it.
Stephen Berkoff chewing the scenery.
Oh my God, yeah. Who I just, until I knew what his name was, which is Olaf, just referred to as ugly Viggo Mortensen. most of my notes.
Mr. Shouty.
And I feel like that's doing Viggo Mortensen
a disservice. Yeah, he does chew the scenery.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it is all about. I loved it. Dialed in to 12, really. It was just sort of. No, I thought he was going there. I really liked it. And he's so mad. His eyes popped.
The synopsis for
Octopussy.
Why didn't they not have the theme as, like, instead of an all-time high, like, I don't know, an all-time Octopussy?
It's an awkward title to get the in, isn't it? A song, do you want?
I mean, yeah. Don't be fussy with that Octopussy.
I nearly said juicy, which is very rare for a gay man.
The synopsis.
Go on.
James Bond is back in this electrifying adventure as 007 investigates the murder of a fellow agent who was found clutching a priceless Fabergé egg. The trail leads to the mysterious Octopussy, whose travelling circus features a company of luscious athletic women. Bond and Octopussy share a passionate attraction, but soon 007 discovers that the elegant Kamal Khan is working with a mad Russian officer to hurl mankind into World War III.
Brilliant, because it says everything you need to know, and it's all there, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very tight plot, but there's lots in it to make it good. What happened in 1983?
So many things happened in 1983. I'll kick off with some music ones.
Go on.
Number one, I didn't write it down because I didn't have to. 1983, The Hurtin' by Tears for Fears was released.
Yeah.
Outstanding debut album.
That's a great album.
In the UK, we have in 1983, Red Rain, which was the winds in the Sahara, whipped up some sand into the atmosphere, and then by the time it came to the UK, obviously it was in like the clouds and shit.
All right.
And then it rained red, so it was Red Rain.
Was this in England?
I mean, not like for the whole year.
Oh, just for a little bit.
Just a couple of instances. There's the Nelly massacre in India, where more than 2,000 Muslims are killed. Karen Carpenter dies at 32.
Oh, God, yeah. Anorexia.
Anorexia. Alice Walker, first black woman to win the Pulitzer Prize for The Colour Purple. UK introduces the £1 coin and starts phasing out the £1 banknote. As the first woman in space, Sally Ride.
Oh, way.
I hope that's her name.
Sally Ride.
People had t-shirts with Ride Sally Ride.
Oh, my God, that's a soul song.
It's the song, yeah.
Ride Sally Ride. Did they?
Yeah.
Did she get back in time to cook her husband's dinner?
Nah. I think he had to make not even a microwave meal.
Oh, hey.
Those wouldn't have been very common. The Day After's First Aid on US TV. We've got Abel Archer, which didn't happen until the end of 83, but I feel like it's linked in with
this
film. Abel Archer was the NATO forces are taking part in a military exercise, but the USSR think it's the real thing. Yuri Andropov, who was the president of Russia at the time, mobilizes the military and starts maneuvering the nukes into the launch sites. However, unsung hero Leonard Perutz of the US Air Force sees what's going on with Russia mobilizing.
Yeah.
Decides to just wait it out and not do anything. And so the Russians eventually realize that it's just an exercise and they don't take it any further and they start pulling back.
But it could have been the doomsday.
Yep.
Oh, right.
So that was November 1983, so technically that doesn't count for the writing for this film. However, previous, so we're talking 1982, we've got a real Cold War-esque thing going on. Brezhnev is the General Secretary of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. And, oh, he's the guy, do you know, the mural of Please God, Let Me Survive This Deadly Love. It's the two men kissing because...
Oh, right. Is this Brezhnev?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I know who you mean, yeah.
That's the guy. He was suggesting that both the USSR and the USA cut their medium-range missiles by two-thirds. That were in European air bases, and the US actually rejected this. But Brezhnev still suspended the deployment of new nuclear weapons in Russia. He still threatened retaliation if the US were going to continue to bring more nukes into Europe.
Because you have the Moscow thing where they used to go through and show you their tanks.
Unfortunately, Brezhnev, because I thought that was quite progressive, because he's wanting to reduce the missiles.
Was Brezhnev like a soft run for Gorbachev? Because Gorbachev was the one that was, you know,
brought
down, you know, put McDonald's into Moscow and stuff like that.
But Brezhnev died within a year, I think, or just after a year. And then they got in Yuri Andropov, who was quite aggressive, but he wanted like bans on land-based nuclear missiles. If you proper get into it, it's just too much.
Yeah.
We have Reagan comes in, and then he starts referring to Russia as an evil empire. That's just like proper inflammatory.
The reds under the bed kind of thing again.
I mean, it's not all bad because the Eurythmics release Sweet Dreams, the album.
That is it's a great song.
Arnold Schwarzenegger became a US citizen.
Oh, did he?
Yep, in 1983. Martin Luther King Day Jr. is observed as a federal holiday in the US, and that's on the 19th of October each year.
Thanks to Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday. Mandela's still in jail, though, isn't he?
Yeah, Mandela's still in jail in the 80s. Ariel Sharon resigns after an inquiry finds that he was responsible for killings in 1982. One final fact.
Go on, let me talk.
On Christmas Day, 21-year-old Silvio Proshk got shot trying to escape Berlin, and he was just left to die over hours in the death strip.
Well, Bond at Cuba.
Are we in Cuba?
I think we are in Cuba. I think via Pinewood or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks English. The countryside looks English. It doesn't look like Cuba, but I think it's supposed to be Cuba.
We've got two people who look a bit like Fidel and Raul Castro.
Yes, but you've also got two people who look like Roger Moore. You've got him as James Bond, and then you've got the tash, haven't you? And then we'll see him does he take the tash off or something?
He does eventually.
In all that, and just whips it off.
Yeah.
So the two of them look the same, so we know already that Roger's in this hangar and something's going to go on.
Yeah. He's got a lady who I'm going to call Karina, but I don't actually know You are name is. So he comes in, he's wearing like tweed.
The fatigues.
But then he swaps, his like jacket goes inside out.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it's like a military uniform.
It goes to the military.
Gets that stick on Tash on, like you said. Yeah, then we're in the hangar, he's trying to break the satellite, but he gets found out remarkably quickly.
Gets caught, yes.
By his little doppelganger, who he's pretending to be.
He's like, oh, yeah. But there's no room for breathing in this, though. He gets put in the back of the car.
He gets put in the back of some kind of...
A Jeep.
Yeah, like a Jeep. Oh, it reminded us of National Lampoon's Vacation, where the woman's driving alongside them, and she's all like blowing kisses and showing her thighs. Fans like, oh, hey, fellas, look at her.
Take a look at her now. But the yes, he turned to so what did he? And she's like showing a bit more leg, a bit flirty and all that. Woo!
Does he jump off the Jeep and into her car? I feel like yeah.
Oh yeah, I think he does. But then I've got back of car, gets in girl's car, got a horse's ass.
Yeah.
Which is not a horse's ass. It is actually, it goes up like that, doesn't it? And then we have the little plane.
Yeah.
Which is called Dry Nelly. Or something like that.
I hope that's true.
I hope that is true.
Dry Nelly.
Instead of Wet Nelly, which was in...
We've had Little Nelly, we've had Wet Nelly.
Dry Nelly. There's a bit of a Nelly somewhere in there. Get a girl's car playing, Robert. And then he's flying over. There's a little bit of that. And then he goes back through into the hangar.
Yeah, there's a rocket following him.
Yes, the rocket. Because the rockets go around that way in a kind of semicircle.
Yeah.
But then they go straight into the hammer, obviously, and then they try and shut the doors. And Nelly goes through the doors, and you can actually see it's on a plinth.
Oh!
So it's going like that, so you can see the bottom. And I was thinking, oh, you can see the bottom bit now. It's going on Blu-ray.
Oh,
and a big TV. You can see that goes through. They finally shut them, actually, after Roger gets out as James Bond.
Yeah.
And then it ends up...
Exploding,
blows everything up.
So mission accomplished, because he was meant to blow up that satellite.
He comes down because he needs a fuel, so then lands at the garage.
Yeah.
I think that is when we hit title sequence.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously the little quip is, fill her up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all like, oh, it's a plane.
Oh, it's a plane.
The only other thing that I wanted to mention, the missing absolute trick of patriotism. As he side turns that plane, he's going out of the hangar, and then he goes off into the sky. Imagine if they had, you know, like the red arrows with the plumes of blue, white, and red coming out the back of that plane. That would have been...
Oh, that would have been good.
That
yeah.
just would have made it perfect. Of like,
oh, yeah, that would
have been great. Yeah, we're British!
Because this is the second movie that's directed by John Glenn, who was old, who directed most of them in the 80s.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because John Glenn, his weird little trademark is, I forgot to mention it last time when we were doing For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, right.
His trademark is that a pigeon will just fly out of nowhere, and it happens when he's climbing up the mountain, and the pigeon comes up and frightens Italian Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And then it happens again where a pigeon startles
the
viewer.
Oh, yes. Is that like a kind of Hitchcock kind of thing, where, because always you have birds fly out in Hitchcock? Like a homage.
Hitchcock's thing was that he would be an extra or something.
Oh, cameo.
Yeah, so he would have a little cameo. So where was John Glenn's thing is he has a pigeon cameo.
That
he always puts in.
I've got now bare ass for the title sequence, because there's a bit more bum in it.
Yeah, I've wrote nudie ladies. There's some lasers. The lasers are lasering 007.
Yes, they are. Yeah, it's a good song when they redone a load of the Bond themes in the 90s. They've got different people to sing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Pulp were the ones that done All Time High.
Oh.
It was quite a good version, actually, you know.
When I first watched it, I thought, this is a lackluster song.
Uh-huh.
What kind of song is this for a Bond theme?
Yeah.
That song stuck in my head. Uh-huh. It's a proper earworm, and I feel like I've never heard it previous to this. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, oh, actually, it is a good song.
It's a good song. It's a good song. It's good. It's catchy.
Well done.
It's catchy.
Well done, Rita Coolidge.
We're going to another bit, which is the clown gets chased through the forest by two knife men, which I thought was quite creepy. We're led to believe at first that they're chasing Roger Moore through, dressed as a clown.
Oh,
because it looks like, I thought it was Roger Moore when I first seen it as a clown.
I thought it was like, all of a sudden, this is a horror film.
I found it quite horrific when I seen it in the picture.
Oh my god. Clown thing, anyway.
Yeah. There was a real threat though when he was trying to go out on that embankment.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
I mean, at first you're like, is the clown the bad guy because he's dressed as a frightening clown?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you realise...
John Wayne Gacy.
Oh yeah.
Creepy.
You realise that actually the clown's getting chased.
And he gets knifed.
And then it's twins, creepy twins.
Oh, yeah, the creepy twins, yeah. Oh, God, I see what we had.
Called Grishka and Mishka. But
Grishka,
I don't know
Grishka and Mishka. Babushka and Ushka.
I'm not being racist. I'm sure someone's called that.
So they get chased through the forest, which is very horror. He falls straight into the water. Then he gets out of the water.
He manages to survive.
He does, yes. So you think he's going to live. And then the woman and the guy are having a dinner party or something, and through the French windows lands the spy with a Fabergé egg in his hand, doesn't he?
Yeah, he bursts through,
you know,
the ambassadors.
So that was good, because after we had the great beginning, and they had the song, and then it seemed like we had another...
This bit could have been the pre-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah, I always felt that.
Yeah, and then they could have done the credits, and then it could have been, like, M's office.
Oh, yes. They could have had the bit where he landed, then the bit where he's running through the forest without the title sequence.
Oh.
And then, as you say, but they could have had a close-up of the Fabergé egg, and then it could have went into Octopussy, the song.
Yeah. Obviously, I like that he bursts through the patio doors, which is horrifying. They've missed an absolute trick, because he's got a balloon.
Oh, the balloon...
tied to him.
Red balloon or something.
A red balloon tied to him, but this is pre...
99.
Pre-it. The made-for-TV miniseries.
Oh, God, yeah, it is.
But I thought it would have been so good had the Fabergé egg rolled out of his hand. That fucking balloon popped. You would have just, like, shit yourself. And that would have ended the scene perfectly, because it was like a bloody horror film anyway.
It was very well made. It was very well done and
all
that.
That was very good.
We're into Moneypenny and Miss Smallbone. A bit of flirting, bit of this, that and the other. Straight into the M, but not M's.
Office. But this Moneypenny scene just says it all, doesn't it? Because there's a young filly in the stable.
Oh, yes.
And now...
get rid of money. Get in, Penny.
Yeah. Pointed out to her, unsubtly, that she's getting a bit older and that this is a more attractive lady by giving her the bunch of flowers and giving Moneypenny one. Give her the fucking scraps, the old bitch. And then he goes in the M's office.
He does. And she goes, be thankful, because the only thing you will get. Tempted to do me Mr. Big voice and go... bitch, you're old! By this time, Lewis Maxwell had done a massive faux pas.
Oh, yeah.
And slagged off the Bond movies and said they were getting worse as they went on. You never say that of an employer, do you, really? They've got worse as they've got on, and they've got an over-reliance on gadgets.
Not wrong, no.
So she lasted to die with a view. A fucking view to kill. Then she was out by the Dalton era.
Oh.
So I think she's blocked in her copybook a little bit.
What, is she not allowed to have an opinion? I think they were probably just looking for any excuse to get rid of her.
Get you old!
Get you old, Alex!
Get you old! The MC in the office, you got the Fabergé egg, but it turns out to be a fake.
Yep. We're introduced to Jim Fannin, the art expert, who's going to be in one scene.
Oh, yes.
We find out that it was 009 that
was dressed. Haven't replaced M. Is M away on a holiday? Or...
No, I think M's there.
It's not Bernard Lee, though, is it?
Well, no, it's indeed.
Oh. So do I have an M?
Yeah, I think it's M. Oh. But they don't refer to him as M. They're just trying to slyly...
Slip them in. Because we don't really get a decent M till Julie Dench. Who's a woman, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I can't remember there was much kickback on the making Julie Dench M.
Oh, no, because it would have been like M short for mommy.
Leave that there with you. Gogol's back.
They're going to be off to Sotheby's, so we'll see that in a minute.
Yeah.
With the fake egg.
But we've got a Russian bit.
And it's in like, is this a Ken Adams set?
I would say yes. I don't know, but I'd probably say yes.
It's huge. Because
it looks like one. It's massive.
It's huge. It's used for 5 seconds.
It's got a great globe at the back. Oh. I think it was wonderful.
It's got the globe. It's got maps. Yeah. Does the table turn around?
It does. It does everything, doesn't it? It does everything that you want. It's a brilliant set. I really like the set. Got General Orlov, who chooses the scenery, because this is when we're introduced to him.
Yes.
Now, is he more hardcore Russian and he doesn't want peace, does he? Or detente?
Doesn't want no detente.
No detente.
But this would have been the echoes of Brezhnev.
Brezhnev.
Who was seen KGB. As a little pussy. A little octopus, eh?
A little octopus, eh?
Because yes. He wanted to obviously lower the land missiles.
The defence so then they could creep in.
No, he
wanted. Take over the
world. Oh no, so like Brezhnev did it so there wouldn't be an escalation.
Oh, right.
A lot of like hardcore communist nationalist kind of thing. So it is like, yeah. Oh well, we're just bowing down to.
To the West.
Whereas Europe should be ours for the taking. And so I felt like Orlov was.
Russia's a big country to govern.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's massive. If you look on the map. So we've got that, so we know that General Orlov is a bit of a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And he's slightly crazy, and he's more of a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
Gogol's trying to be a bit of a voice of reason.
Yeah, Gogol's like, yeah, I've put in fucking time with these people. I've been smoothing things over for years. I've been working with them, and you just want to bloody fuck all that up. With your silliness. So you were saying Orlov was played by...
Stephen Berghoff.
Was he a theatre actor?
Yes.
Oh, right,
he
okay.
was quite well-known theatre actor. He wrote his own plays too in Orlov.
Oh, I bet he did. Yeah.
And he always acted like that. Do you know what I mean? That kind of craziness. I think he's the go-to loud actor.
Oh, I see. Because sometimes people who are mostly based in theatre...
Shout.
They don't translate as well
no, cause in film. Yeah.
Because they're still trying to hit the back row.
because it's like project.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because people could mic up by the 90s anyway. The 80s and 90s. Which is So like, no, don't mic up. Shout! You know, everything had to be like a sort of Gordon's Alive style.
Orlov is channeling.
He's just channeling. Fucking loud.
So yeah, and then
we'll have the egg scene in Sotheby's. Did you like the bit where he has the egg? And he goes, oh, can I have a closer look at the egg? And he drops the egg, but then he replaces that egg.
I didn't even notice he did it.
Did you not?
Nope, and I watched this film twice, and I still didn't notice it.
It dropped like that, and then he put a false one in its place. I think it was the one with the antenna in his place. Because he went like a sleight of hand thing. I was thinking, that's good.
We're in Sotheby's. We're going to meet Magda, who he thinks going to be more important.
But not. No.
Sotheby's, originally 1744, was a book auction, yes.
Was it?
Yep. It wasn't until 1816 that they started branching out into art and other things to auction. And now the London Sotheby's isn't the only Sotheby's. There's like Sotheby's now all around the world.
Oh. It's where there posh people go to flog their wares. There's posh eBay.
Posh eBay.
Posh eBay, isn't it? And now, I have got, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but I've got Bond in India.
Nearly. So close to Bond going to India.
Well, so close. It does go along at a rattling pace, so that's why I keep thinking, doesn't it?
Magda is the one who is counterbidden.
Oh, God, yes. Egg. In Louis Chardin. He's there.
Yep. Exiled Afghan prince Kamal Khan.
Yeah.
And then they get another car and it's driven by Kamal's henchman, Gobinda.
Yes.
And now?
Off to India. Bond in India. Oh, yes, because Kamal, the guy who plays Kamal, was in the movie, in the musical Gigi.
Was he?
Louis Chardin, yes. And I feel, because like lots of people complain that he was underplayed. He was more like a gentleman sort of film.
Yeah.
Make them a bit toast and kill, get somebody else to kill him off. Because I don't think he actually would get his hands dirty and do any kind of killing himself. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But he's quite cool in it. He's got like a French coolness about him.
Yeah?
I liked him. Some people didn't. I thought he was alright. I thought he was really good.
I thought he was alright. Like, he's definitely a villain, but he's not like evil, he's just like a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's just out. He's like a yuppie villain.
He's
just out really to make some extra cash and he doesn't give a fuck of the consequences for everyone else.
Bond gets out of that boat.
Yep.
To the theme of dee-dee-dee-dee by the guy playing the flute, the snake charmer.
It was amazing. I really liked it. It was like so meta. It was like a signal. Uh-huh. Like, but with the flute, which I can't believe I did not look at what kind of flute it's playing.
I could play on me for sure. No, I like that bit because obviously that was Vijay Amitrad, who was the tennis player.
I thought he was very good. He should have had a film career.
I like him as that now.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. We got really invested in his story and Bond.
Yeah.
It's very rare that Bond buddies up. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, apart from Felix Leiter. But even then, not with Felix Leiter, does he have as much scene as he had with him? It was good because he was like younger and he was sort of full of awe for like James, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And had a good report. He was good. I liked it. I thought it was very, very good.
I really liked VJ.
He was great. And then we'll get Bond in her tale.
Oh, yeah. So you get a little bit of backstory from VJ because he's like, Kamal owns the country club and the golf course and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I also work part-time as a tennis pro at Kamal's country club.
Drop that in.
For anyone going like, where do I know him from? Then it's because of the tennis.
Oh, God, yeah. It's funny because of the tennis bit because when you have the car chase, he gets his tennis racket out, you know, it's like to keep the joke going. But it goes back and forward. It's, it's like an actual tennis game. So I thought that was funny. That was really good.
I like that bit. But no, you're right. We are at the hotel. The hotel staff say, we've been expecting you.
Yes. That comes
not up. As good as Stromborg.
No, not as good as Strongborg. But they have the cherry vanilla cider, however. Kamal's playing backgammon.
Yeah.
With his lucky dice.
Oh, so I don't understand backgammon anyway. You can just literally gamble on anything, can't you?
And Kamal
is a fucking cheat. And you know how I feel about cheaters.
He's a cheater.
He's a dirty cheater. Because he's got his lucky dice, as you said. And how are the lucky?
He shakes that little leather pouchy thing, puts it down. They're rigged, aren't they?
Yeah, is it weighted dice, and so he always gets a double six?
That's it. I don't know how he does that. A bit like Goldfinger, isn't it? Where obviously, you know, it was rigged slightly then in Goldfinger's favour.
Yeah.
It's obviously this is rigged in Kamal Khan's, isn't it? And so he's playing against that captain. And then what happens is Bond sits down and he goes, I think I'll use your dice, Kamal.
Oh, yeah, I like that bit.
Shaky, shaky, shaky in the leather pouch. Puts it down. Roger doesn't even look up, looking down at the thing. And he already knows he's won. And he goes, is it beginner's luck? I'm tempted to say. It would be good if it was. If we're going for puns, that was dicey. You know, I don't know.
So he's up at them for the egg in the meantime.
Yes, so we have the bit with the egg, don't we? Little so thingy. So now, he knows it's there.
Bond now has the egg.
That infamous line.
Oh, yeah. He gives some money to the hotel staff.
Yeah.
To which he says, are you going to say it or not?
This will keep you in curry for a few weeks.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Racist.
I'd like to say at the time that I didn't feel it was racist because I probably didn't know. I'm sure he just laughed and thought it was a quip. But, you know, Nails.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Nails watched it in early 2000s. And both of us went, and all that because we couldn't believe what he'd said. You know, when an Asian Bond would just go, this will keep you in bland food for a while.
This will keep you in all day breakfast.
Mr. Weatherspoon. You know. We've got the tennis racket car chase, which we've already mentioned before.
Yes. And they're in a little tuk-tuk.
A little tuk-tuk. I liked. That was a great scene. It had some good stunts in it.
It was so good. I liked it. I've got a lot of things written, but I won't get too excited. VJ says it's a company car, and then it starts going really fast, the tuk-tuk.
It thingies up, doesn't it?
It starts popping some wheelies. I wrote that down.
It's good. It's good.
Karate men start fighting them. James gets stabbed through the suit.
Oh, yes, and the money, and he takes it out, doesn't he? Scatters all the money.
So all the crowds come and get the money. Gobinda has like a gun that looks like a horn. It looks like a really old style like musket.
It looks like a 1920s musket.
Yeah.
I think it might actually be a 1920s musket.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
VJ gets his own little quick of, I think that's game, set and match. Which is amazing.
He was good. They should have had more VJ. They should have come, right? Well, VJ wasn't quite a lot.
We've got James Bond runs across some coals. Although I believe that there's some like, ooh, ow, ooh. And I said, you've got fucking shoes on.
Yes, but he's got sensitive feet, hasn't he?
Since
our crocodile tried to bite him in the foot and live and let die. And then he takes the sword out, doesn't he, out of the guy's gob. Then there's a sitar player.
So he's like, I've never been to India, but I imagine down every street we turn, it's not going to be someone swallowing a sword.
Somebody on a bed of nails.
Yeah. Someone walking across hot coals.
Yeah.
Someone charming a snake.
Yeah. To be quite honest, we both remarked about how beautiful India looked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the clothes were gorgeous and all that. Sorry. It was good. It looked really good. It filmed well. It was a good choice to film in India.
Yeah.
And it was a nice sort of change from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which was slightly more racist.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Indiana Jones.
I've seen the last one. The CGI'd a lot of...
Oh my god, that the Crystal Skull one?
No, there's one after then.
Is there?
With Phoebe Waller-Bridge on.
Oh, shit, yeah, because I like
She's good in it. Harrison Ford's quite good in it.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Why did I say Bridgerton? Oh, Bridgerton. I was probably saying Bridgerton, actually. So that was quite anti-Asian.
Tell me, where in America is the nuclear bomb?
Never.
Here is a snake.
I'm not frightened by that.
A tarantula?
It wouldn't even raise an eyebrow.
I'll start removing your fingernails.
They'll grow back.
I'll start talking about the fact that I'm menstruating.
No, it's in Washington, D.C. Oh, yeah, because he says, get off my bed, which was the bed of nails, and then straight through the poster.
Oh, yes.
Like that bit.
Got the quip. Certainly pays to advertise, because they go through the paper poster, and then...
Another one comes in.
Another one drops down, so Gobinda can't find them.
I like that bit.
That bit was very good.
That was good. Roger is great in this.
Yeah?
He is so good in it. Q's perfect image on the boobies.
Oh my god. So they're putting the Homan device in, the microphone on the egg.
Yep.
And then Bond's fannying about with the, ooh, we've got some crystal clear camera equipment.
We've got a camera. We've got a camera, there's a bussy lady. We shall aim the camera on the bussy lady.
Well, they don't even just, they're zooming in and out on the tits about four or five times.
Yeah.
And then after the stop, doing that,
yeah,
they just leave it pointed on our tits. So for the rest of that little bit in the background, the TV has a fucking cleavage on.
Oh yeah, it does. It is very Benny Hill though.
Yeah.
We'll have the image of the boobies, and then we'll meet the girl Magda again.
Yes. Yeah. The only other thing that I wanted to
interject
with. There's a man climbing a rope is one of Q's gadgets.
Oh, I quite like that one.
And then he gets near the top and it flops over, to which Bond says, having problems keeping it up, Q. Which I thought was obviously
Oh, God, yeah.
Hilarious.
But that always reminds me of, like, Alan Partridge would go, like, cock. He means cock. I mean, the Q scene's all right. Like, it's very juvenile, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's very juvenile.
You can see why Q hates Bond.
Yeah,
goes to dinner with Magda.
Yep.
Kamal knows that he has the egg.
Yep.
Got Shag 29.
Refilling from a loving cup. Because I'm in a drink in bed, aren't they? And he goes, oh, it's all right. We'll just use the one cup.
Oh, is that...
A loving cup, which is the name of a Rolling Stones song.
Oh, were you just drinking from the same cup?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot of germs going around there.
Magda is a really weird kisser.
Yeah, look a bit weird, look a bit awkward.
Looked awkward.
Yeah. Then you've got Rogers, you know, when the woman goes, it's my little octopussy.
Because she has a tattoo of an octopus.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon octopus.
It's like a cartoon octopus. It looks very glamorous octopus tattoo.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I suppose. I've never been up close to an octopus to actually see what the claws look like. Roger gives these world-famous eyebrow rays, doesn't he, you know?
So I've got... Well, obviously Magda's going to die.
She nicks the egg.
She does.
But we see that kind of mirror, though, don't we?
Yeah,
we're
so
just doing it like that.
She's stealing the egg out of his suit jacket. I mean, you know, James, why are you keeping the priceless egg in the suit jacket?
Yeah, just
because he knows. He knows she's a thief.
Oh, yes, because, as you say, it's a good plot because he knows what's going to happen, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then she wraps herself up in a sari.
I like that bit. Comes down the thing.
Yeah, jumps off the balcony, but she's tied one end of her sari to the railing.
Yeah,
so she kind of just, like, aerial acrobats down.
You and Gary said the same thing. I think it was, what was it, that's too, there's too much fabric there for the, you know, to slide down.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. There was too much fabric.
Yeah.
That's not how you use a sari. And she's just in her underwear.
Oh, yeah. Henchman hits Bond over the head.
Is that Gobinder?
Yeah, and then we meet Octopussy.
Kamal's in Octopussy's compound.
Played by the wonderful Maude Adams.
Yeah.
Big gay icon.
Is she?
The lover.
Oh.
Licensed to queer. They love Maude Adams.
Well, she's beautiful. She's a good actress.
I think she got the gig to make up for The Man with the Golden Gun, which Roger obviously hit her, but didn't want to do it.
And all that.
I think they were still friends. And he'd said, what about Maude Adams? Like, obviously, none of them went, oh, no, because she played another character. So all that was forgotten about. But I don't think anybody else could have played Octopussy as good as Maude Adams.
Oh, no, it would have been shite.
She was great.
She was really good.
Yeah.
I thought they missed a trick because, well, we don't see her face, but you see her dressing gown with the octopus on the back.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then Kamal's telling her about James Bond, and it's all, he likes eggs, specifically Fabergé. And I was like, oh, my God, they could have used, he likes eggs, preferably
fertilized.
Unfertilized.
I didn't know I were going with the eggs.
Well, yeah, we're going with, well, I mean, normally you like them unfertilized because then there's going to be no babies.
No babies.
I know what you were going to say there.
And then we'll have the eating of the sheep's eyeball. Oh, which Kamal likes. Because he goes, and he makes a weird noise and all when he eats it.
It's a power play.
It's a power play. Oh, I couldn't eat a fucking sheep eye.
I mean, I'd preferably not have one. Yeah. But I would, I mean, well, they have a starter.
Is the starter sweet?
They said it was a souffle, but it could have been like an egg souffle.
Oh, right.
They're all halfway through eating it, and he's like...
then it gets the next one, yeah.
Yeah, it gets whipped away, and then it's a bloody horror sheep's head with the eyes still intact.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? I don't think I could eat a sheep's eye in situ in the head, because I get really upset when I eat calamari, so I don't eat it anymore.
Oh.
Because I'm like, oh, these are just like little babies, and I'm eating their arms.
Oh, no. You know, when we used to do science, and they used to give you an eyeball from the abattoir or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to
that was
dissect
good.
It. All that.
Get the lens out.
All
that.
The juice used to come out the eye.
Yeah.
Oh,
everyone's eyes are juicy.
So I don't think I could do that bit. The sheep's eye, and then we've got the bit where Bond gets escorted to his room. But also he uses his pen, doesn't he, to melt.
Oh, yeah. Q gave him a special pen that has metal melting acid in it.
He's very good, Q, because he always knows what's going to
happen. Yeah, I know. It's
you know
good, isn't it?
It's as if it was written down in a script.
He's thinking, well, do you know what? In case you're in a room with metal bars.
Yeah.
He has this pen.
And also, I hear you're going to an island with loads of women, so I've packed 52 condoms. So you can use that bit. Then the Russians have landed.
Oh, yes. As he's trying to get into Magda's room because she's said no thanks for a shag. And then he's asking Gabinda if he wants a nightcap. Because he's like, well.
Well, let's just get it going. You know what I mean?
And then, yeah, so as he's escaping out of his room, it's all of... takes something away, but you don't really see it.
Oh, you don't really know what it is, do you? Is it the bomb that
yes,
they use later on?
But you unprobably... So he takes the bomb away in a helicopter. So Bond doesn't hear the plan except that something's happening in 1 week.
Yes. I've got Hyde's microphone.
Up his ass. Where does he hide it?
I don't know where he hides it. I've just got my bullet points.
I can't remember where he hides it.
Hide microphone bomb. Does he not hide the microphone so he can listen to what's going on? And he places
so
it.
They've already put the microphone in the egg.
Yeah.
All of knows that it's a fake Fabergé, and then they smash it up.
Yeah.
And then they see the little microphone.
And he knows then.
So he knows that, number one, it was a fake. Number two, that it was bugged.
So you recovered it. He must be eliminated. That's what Kamal says, isn't it?
Bond's hiding in a meat locker with two dead henchmen.
That bit was creepy.
That was creepy. Were they just there, incidentally?
Yeah, and the kind of frozen meat.
Yeah.
Thing. A bit odd.
Yeah.
It was strange. They were killed, I don't know if they upset Kamal, and they were killed and then just stuck there, weren't they, in the freezer?
Yeah.
And then he gets in the bag, Kamal flies out. If I remember rightly, does Bond not just go straight back upstairs?
No, he gets taken out as a corpse.
Oh, yes, he does in the car, doesn't he, aye?
Yeah, and Kamal doesn't...
Because he's in the white linen thing.
Yeah, so Olaf goes off in the helicopter. Bond's taken out as a corpse, and then they're in the jungle.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of...
elephant hunt.
But also, I mean, they definitely don't mind that it's actually... they're going to be hunting down James Bond.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bond's in bags, Bond running away.
He runs into a big spider web.
He does that. There's a tiger at one point where he goes, sit! Which was Barbara Woodhouse's famous how to control your animals by raising your hand and then going, sit!
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah. And apparently the dog sat. We did try that with our dog and it did slightly work.
Oh, Scott.
Scott. It was Scott and all, actually.
Of course it was, that fucking terror dog.
The terror dog.
Oh, my God.
He used to go 5 foot on a daily routine.
Oh, he was horrible. Such a horrible dog.
He's a really pampered.
Even when you actually did stroke him, like his fur was long and felt like fucking an old lady's hair.
Scott, had him for a long time, 12 years, you know.
Scott was a Yorkshire Terrier.
He was a Yorkshire Terrier.
My grandma, Uncle Mark's mum, had...
My mum loved him.
She did.
She loved Scott. She was very good with... I had a rabbit and all. Aww. The rabbit didn't like me, but liked me mum.
Aww. Byron.
Byron. Byron. With the pitch on Byron's thing of a rabbit with a giant spliff in its skull.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? I painted the giant spliff in its skull. God, my mum thought it was a big carrot.
Oh, I thought it was just a long cigarette.
Oh, no, it was a spliff.
I mean, I would have been like...
I know you are young, so...
As far as I was concerned, cigarettes were the only thing you could smoke.
Oh, yeah. They had the sit thing, they had the shoot that falls backwards because he gets underneath the elephant, doesn't he? And then the guy attempts to shoot, but the on a carry thing.
They've tied a little house onto an elephant.
But he'd unstrap it, so when he goes to shoot him, he falls backwards, doesn't he? And then we'll have a crocodile thing happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
And that's about it, because he escapes... By, if I remember rightly, getting on that boat, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he makes it the tour boat. You've got the Tarzan impression.
Oh, God, yes. He does the... Oh, I can't do it because it sounds more like Jimmy Savile. But see, I don't want to do the Tarzan. It's going to sound Jimmy Savile.
Oh. Jimmy Savile, it's ruined everything.
Jimmy Savile. And then we've got the floating palace.
Just before that, VJ is massaging Bond in telling him about... It's a sports massage, or it's hockey.
Oh, sorry. I don't want that.
He's telling him about the floating palace.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, oh, it's only women who are allowed to live there. Yeah. And then Bond has the fucking gall to be like, oh, sexual discrimination. I'll have to pay her a visit.
He's crazy. He is a humanitarian because he's looking on the sexual discrimination thing. He's trying to stop it all.
Yeah.
You know, by releasing these women.
He wants those bitches to be fed equally.
Bond's in the crocodile thing, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes over. I like the crocodile suit. In a review, I had this review for years and years. I used to, like, cut out reviews from magazines and newspapers. And for the Octopussy review, they were saying about the bit where he was inside the crocodile. And it says, it's gone from 007 to ho-ho 7. Because they said it ramped up too much of the comedy thing. But then again, Connery had a bird on his head.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I like the crocodile thing. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay. I mean, they could have done no-no 7.
No-no 7. Oh, no-no 7. So, Bond's in the crocodile.
He meets Octopussy.
Oh, yes, he meets Maud Adams. And we'll get to know about... Maud's story about her father.
Oh, yeah, so this backstory's just whipped out. Which I wasn't.
Chinese gold, bits of stuff, committed suicide.
He knew Major Smith from some random mission where he had to bring someone in.
Yeah.
And then he killed himself.
Yep.
In Octopussy's his daughter.
Octopussy went, you give him a dignified death.
I mean, there's so many points to make out of this. You'd rather have your dad kill themselves as opposed to being in jail.
Being in jail.
Like,
yeah,
that's pretty bad. But, I mean...
Or being known as a traitor. It's very English colonial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sorry, stiff up my lip.
We can get you out there. But they are on the bed, bit of smoochy smoochy, and we'll have the knife spinner.
Nearly.
Do we?
Almost. Because Kamal comes in and he's like, oh my God.
I can smell Bond.
And then that Bond...
sticky wicket.
And then Kamal's like, right, you're definitely going to have to like kill this guy. And then like Octopus is like, yeah, get fucked.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh. And then,
yeah.
Then next scene you see Kamal in some kind of dive bar of some sort.
Smoking French cigarettes. Gillettes. What are they called? The ones with the J's?
Gillettes.
Are they?
No.
What's that French cigarette? Is it Gillettes?
No, I'm just thinking of the razors.
Oh no.
Well, I don't know. There's French
cigarette called Giglettis or something. Or not Giuseppe, because that's Pinocchio, I think.
No. It's not the way. Sexy bougie rollies. He's gonna have James Bond killed by a weird one-eyed man. Again, gonna have someone with a physical difference.
Yep.
Is a bad guy.
Yep.
Which we've mentioned many times. Some guy with what can only be described as a yo-yo chainsaw is his weapon of choice.
I've never seen one of them.
I don't think they took off.
I don't think they never landed in our playground.
Nah.
But the and it spins out. It's very good as a killer machine, though. It's very solid. You know what I mean?
It's good, but I mean, there's danger to the yo-yo arm.
Yeah, the yo-yo.
You know, when he was doing his tricks, like walking the dog.
Walking in the...
Like, you can just grab onto that fucking string. You know, spoilers, what happens?
Yeah.
So...
We'll have a mild Q scene again.
Yes.
Because the game's given away with the diamond smuggling business, with the carnival circus.
Q and VG are waiting for Bond because he's sailed off in the crocodile disguise.
He has indeed.
Then Q's going to go do something.
Yeah.
And then, so it's just VG who's still waiting for Bond to come back. It's
VG, that's waiting for Bond. Yeah. And then something sad happens.
Not yet, but it will soon. Oh, does it happen?
Q gets a lot more action in this.
He does.
He gets a lot more representation and all.
It's not just in the gadget office. We go back to Octopus Lair. And she started a cult. It's shipping hotels and circuses, like you just said.
Yeah.
She won't be staying very long because she's going to go to Karl-Marx-Stadt.
Yep.
It was in East Germany, and it was called Karl-Marx-Stadt from 1953 to 1998. It's now called Chemnitzen.
Chemnitzen
is now what it's called now. It's in Germany.
Oh, right.
In the reunified Germany. She wants Bond to join her in business, and he's like, how fucking dare you? I'm above you and your illicit, illegal business.
Yeah.
And then she's all like, smug. Don't fucking look your fucking nose down at me.
We're both in the same business.
Kind of, yeah. And then she storms out, and then he takes charge, gets in that bedroom.
Shags her.
Plants a kiss on her, and then...
He does the sex bit. But then the knife spinner comes down.
Yeah, it's number 30, Octopussy in the purse. You go back to VJ, who's still waiting.
Oh, he dies. Did he get killed by the spinny guy?
He did. He gets killed by the yo-yo.
The spinny guy, the spinning yo-yo guy. Ugh. So anyway, VJ gets killed.
Which is so sad.
I remember being quite sad when I seen it the first time ever.
I didn't think he was going to get killed off.
I didn't think he was going to get killed.
Thought Magdad was going to get killed off, but not VJ.
It was quite sad, wasn't it?
It was very sad.
It was very sad, and there was like a genuine... In Desmond Llewellyn, when he was, there was a genuine...
Oh, yeah.
Like, upset. You know, and I thought, oh, no. And then we have a massive fight scene.
Yeah, we have a big fight scene, so the same assassins are now at the Floating Palace.
Bond slides down that staircase, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. I think... Maud and Bond are about to have a second helping. And then Yo-Yo Man, a water droplet, hits Bond in the face. And then the Yo-Yo comes down and just misses them.
Yep. And then he chucks Maud at him in front of the Yo-Yo.
Yeah, and then he makes sure that he uses her as a human shield.
As a human shield, like before.
Yeah, and there's just chaos in it. And oh my God, I love that banister bit.
Oh, yeah. He slides down the banister and there's a big knob that's obviously going to get his jewels. And then he shoots it off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has to shoot that wooden bit off to make sure. Shoot that
wooden bit, you know what I mean? A woman designed that. Fight scene was great. Everything's very top-notchy in this.
Oh, yeah, then you discover... I mean, we can talk about the fight scene a bit more, but it's just...
it's just a generic fight scene. Yo-Yo
Man is killed by the crocodile?
Oh, yes, he is. He's killed by the crocodile.
So they maybe jump out of a window or get thrown out of a window, and now they're back in the river.
But obviously it's not a crocodile because it's just the suit that Roger's in when he comes in, and he gets changed back into it, doesn't he?
So Maud thinks that James Bond is dead.
James Bond's dead, seeing the crocodile.
Really, he's just fucking pumped and dumped. And now he's off, finds Q, and oh my god, the bit where Bond finds out that VJ's dead. Q's like, he was still alive when I found him. I was like, oh no!
He's a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, and then he was like, all he said was that it was Ben sent from Kamal. And it was just like, oh my god. With VJ's dying breaths, he was still
a spy
on the mission.
Roger was good. Roger's good in the emotional bit.
Yeah.
When they allow him to... I think Roger's a great actor, though. He is brilliant. Because he can do the comedy, but he can also do the series at the same point. So we've got the crocodile suit, we'll have the circus.
Oh, yeah, so we're not that long from the end now.
We're not that long from the end.
So is it... You may know this because I didn't check. I'm professional, as always. I'm assuming because he's leaving the American side of...
Berlin
sector, like the
yeah.
So he's even like the American sector. So I'm assuming it's Checkpoint Charlie.
Yeah.
Because everyone, when you talk about Berlin, the Berlin Wall, it's always Checkpoint Charlie, Checkpoint Charlie. So I think we're going through Checkpoint Charlie. We see Mishka and Grishka sword thrown about.
Oh yes.
I think we're actually like in the circus tent now.
We are.
We'll see the Cannonball Man because.
He was funny.
You don't think he's important, but he's going to come into play later.
He's going to come into play later on, yeah. Boom, boom.
Got Magda, Octopussy.
Yeah, they're all there, aren't they?
Kamal, Gabinda.
Yeah.
They're all there. The gang's back together.
And then you have the next day on the train. And then, but Bond gets underneath the train, doesn't he? Underneath the carriages.
So the bomb's meant to be full of jewels because Octopussy is a jewel smuggler. Get the Romanov star.
There's a bomb in the cannon.
So they swap the bomb full of jewels to the bomb, 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 bomb. And then...
Bomb,
bomb.
Bomb, bomb.
And then, as I said, they put it under the cannon. James Bond's trapped under the train, which I did not like.
Oh, yeah. Bond meets Orloff.
Yeah, he has a fight with one of the twins and he's wearing his...
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he? And then...
I'm going to see he kills Grishka and steals... Because Mishka and Grishka. He steals his little red polo neck and black waistcoat.
He does. Does he stick the guy in the cannon?
I think he sticks him in the cannon, yeah. And then, yes, he does...
Bond meets Orloff.
Yeah.
The Merc's tires bop and he goes along, he drives along as if he's driving a train, but it's his car.
Big bit where the whole point of this is that, was this what you were going to say?
The Merc car.
The whole point is that the bomb's going to go off.
Yeah.
But it's going to look like it's a nuclear accident that's happened at an American airbase. But within Europe, in the consequences of that will be all of the Allied forces who have nuclear bombs within mainland Europe will have to move them out. And Orlov's plan is then to get Russia to move in with their own nuclear arsenal and then just take over Europe that way.
Yes, I'm like Lomania.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was quite a good plan, actually.
It's a very cast iron plan.
Some poor Russian kid gets shot in the head.
Oh, yes.
That was a bit much. And then someone else gets shot in the head as well. There's like two headshots in quite quick succession. Orlov gets killed.
Oh, yeah, I thought they would have killed him off later on.
I thought
they killed him off not early, but sort of third of the way in, isn't it?
That's how serious it is, the Cold War, because the train with Bond on it now leaving the Russian sector and going into the American sector, and Orlov's like, oh shit, he's going to ruin my plan because he's going to dismantle the bomb or something. So Orlov starts running after the train, but he goes into the American sector and they're just like, right, fucking just shoot him.
Just shoot him. Oh, yeah, because Gorgol
comes along. And I like this bit because Gorgol was just like, he rides by helicopter. And he's just like, you're a common thief. Yeah. You're a disgrace to the uniform. And then Olav, who's still like clinging on to the dream with these dying breaths, is like, tomorrow I shall be the hero of the Soviet Union. And like, he's mental.
He's crackers. You're right, they had more poignancy.
Yeah.
It was good, a bit of action there though.
Keep on derailing this for the rub. Something about trains, because obviously this is Cold War in the 80s, so this is like Bond's in the train, so is Gabinda and Mishka.
Yeah.
He's dressed up as the gorilla.
Yes, yeah.
To not be found. They have to go through the little customsy bit.
Oh, God, yes, because you've got that wonderful shot where the guy knifes the gorilla, and then you see Bond's feet.
Yeah, so
through the little panel thing.
You see him dressed as a gorilla the whole time, and then I think Gabinda chops the gorilla's head off.
Yeah.
But Bond's already fucked off, and he's on the roof.
Yeah, I like that bit, because you just see him go in the background, isn't it? It's very well filmed. And then he gets chased, and then
there's like a little train fight.
Train fight with the knives.
I mean, I thought the train fight was quite good. Bond's like shimmying along the side of the train. Maud Adams is getting a nude massage in one of the carriages for no reason whatsoever.
I've got knife's brother.
He's under the train and then he pulls one of the hoses and steams.
But
Gabinda doesn't get hit because he can't be burned. There's an hour left on the timer.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've went a bit off piece now. Yeah, so somehow both Mishka and Bond come off the train.
Yeah.
There's a little, well, I mean, it's not really a knife fight. It's like a little bit of a chase, and then
you've got
Mishka's stabbed, he's dead.
Yeah. You've got the stolen car. He gets dressed as a clown. So this is when Roger's dressed as a clown.
Yeah.
He gets rumbled.
Yep, there's a little police chase. Like, the cops are after him.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because of the stolen car.
Yeah.
So I liked it when, because when the bomb's in the circus area bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it when Kamal and Gabinda are like, oh, I'm sorry, we have a flight to catch, we have to leave.
And don't they?
And the car doesn't start, and they just look at each other, because they know that they have to get a move on, otherwise the nuclear bomb will go off. So that was good. And then the car starts
and they drive away. But then Bond gets rumbled, doesn't he? So then you've got the American guy goes, is he drunk or crazy?
Both? No.
Or probably fucking both, really. Roger's a good bit acting because he has to get the bomb out thing and he's going, you know, the whole place will blow up. Well, Octopus, he's like, oh no, let him do his job and all that.
Well, she bloody... Octopussy steals the police officer's gun and shoots off the padlock for the under bit of a nuclear bomb. It's like, right, number one, you're not taking a gun off a cop. That's like serious.
Oh.
There. shooting a bullet at a nuclear bomb.
That bit was a bit thing. But Roger had a match, so it didn't touch the sides, wasn't it?
Oh, was it another one?
Yeah, well, there was another one. It pulls out and then it goes, and then it just stops.
Yeah.
Well, like that bit.
It's a bit of tension.
It was really rammed up very well. It was really played and all
bit
that.
Bit weird seeing Roger Moore in full clown suit with makeup.
Yeah.
And him dismantling, doing a serious task.
With them big shoe things on, the big clowning shoes. We'll have to go back to India, don't we?
We do. We've got a double ender.
We've got Moore. We got a double ender. I've got Olaf betrayed us in Kamal, which is the one of the one.
There's some sexy ladies distracting the guards, and there's some sexy women scaling.
They go on that pole thing, don't they?
Yeah.
You get the pole. They were very gymnastic.
They were very good.
The women come out on top because they managed to get rid of the guys, didn't they?
Yes.
But with a little help from Q.
Yeah.
Who comes in on a hot air balloon.
I mean, they're all dressed in...
Knocks them out.
Full leotards and...
Yeah, like the dance group Hot Gossip.
Yeah.
They were very like Hot Gossip.
Skin on the walls, beating people up.
It was good though. There was a lot of...
I don't think it was as empowering as what you're maybe thinking it is. But, I mean, that's fine.
I mean, I like the bit with Q when he knocks them out and all that. You know, when he sort of, when he knocks one of them out and all that. Because all the women are like around Q, aren't they? You know, and they're going, oh, and he's going like, not now, not maybe later. You know, and all.
Oh, yeah, that's like a little bit near the end. Like, that's like slightly nearer the end. Octopus, he's going to exact our revenge.
Yeah.
Kamal's a shit. He's still trying to talk his way out of it.
Yeah.
There's just... Big shootout fight, huge thing. But then you see Bond and Q descending over the wall.
Yeah.
They
come over in a hot air balloon, which has a giant Union Jack on it.
Yes.
As it should be. And
so chaotic. So even though we didn't get the red, white, and blue plumes of smoke from the plane at the beginning,
no,
we've got a Union Jack hot air balloon.
Yes. And we'll have everything kind of wrapped up there. Aside from, there's a little bit at the end. Which...
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a little quip in the hot air balloon of Bond saying, I trust you can manage this contraption. And then Q goes, it goes by hot air. To which Bond replies, oh, you can then.
You old cunt.
Oh no, this is the bit where he slides down the banister and shoots off the upturned
acorn. Oh, the knob!
Yeah.
I've just got it there because I've got staircase and I was thinking, oh no, he couldn't do another staircase. I almost wrote it twice.
I mean, he could.
Well, he could do another. He shoots the knob off the staircase.
Oh yeah, that dick's too important. Yeah. Mangled by an ornate. During the big scuffle, which Bond is a little bit involved in, but you know, he's just...
No, the girls do a lot more,
they do 90%
of it.
The
girls do a lot more.
Octopus, he's punched out. Oh, and that's when all the women descend on Q and they're all like, oh, hey, oh, what does this do? Ooh.
Yeah.
Can I tousle your hair? Except, like, they're not saying that.
Get away, you tart.
And he's like, you filthy horse.
Yeah.
We said that it was a double ender, but really, it's a triple ender.
Are we on the plane bit?
Yeah.
He done that for real, that stunt guy.
Yeah.
You know, hanging on that plane and all that jazz.
Obviously, the riding up to the plane on horseback was pretty epic.
Oh, that bit was good, yeah.
Bond, he gets on top of the plane as it's kind of taken off. He manages to fuck around with some controls and then...
Then he puts his foot on the back of the plane, doesn't he? So the plane goes down.
Oh, yeah. And I liked it when Govinda has to get on top of the plane with Bond to fight him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, I've got Govinda gets whipped in the face.
He gets whipped in the face, doesn't he? That's how he gets
so
killed off.
Oh.
Then he flies off, doesn't he?
Yeah, the plane kind of crashes.
Oh, yeah, but then Bond and Octopus, they get out, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of barrel roll out of the plane as it's hit the ground, but it's rolling and the plane goes off a cliff. Octopus, he nearly goes off the cliff, but then Bond grabs her.
Oh, yes, he does like that, doesn't he?
You don't see what happens until you see... Gorgol.
General.
Fucking hell, how many films he been in? I don't know.
General Gorgol says nothing has happened.
Yeah, he's denying any Russian involvement and he wants the Romanov star back, the cheeky bastard.
Why does, doesn't he, the cheeky twat?
Yeah.
Yeah, once more. Although, actually, it did have really big endings on this one.
Yeah.
But it does have an ending which wouldn't be a traditional tie-up to a thriller.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where he just goes, oh, well, look, we're just going to forget about this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I like that bit. I quite like the understated endings. Because you don't want to blow them up in a volcano every movie. It's good if they mix them up a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. The end is he's back in India with Octopussy.
He's with Octopussy.
He looks like he's in like full body traction. But in order to shag her, he just...
Oh, yeah, he does. He was fooling her. He's making a fool out of love. So she ends up having sex again. Yeah, I know what happened. They probably would have sex.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
But there's no kind of thing where the phone rings or...
Yeah, it's a good point.
In mid-shark and all that. Yeah. There's no keeping the British end up quip. It just sort of ends, doesn't it?
There's no quips. I thought the quip could have maybe been because you saw the women exercising or the rowing or something in the gun, like in, out, in, out, in, out.
Shaking it all up. All in corky corky.
I was thinking of the act of coitus.
Is that a coil up? Is that the same as the coil?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as the coil.
I've learned so much about ladies. And that's it.
And that's it, done.
That's it. We've got the whole song. And then the song comes back again.
Oh, yeah.
And then it has James Bond will return. As obviously doing the ending. But I don't think it has.
They don't see the film.
They don't see the film. Because we don't know what it's going to be. It should have been Roger Swan's song.
Yeah. It would have been good.
You could have ended up on an all-time high. You make me want to show. Anyway, so what do we think out of 7 gunshots?
I'm going with 5. I really liked it. For seeing it for the first time this time round.
Yeah.
I mean, again, there's always a couple of things that are a bit shit.
Well, true.
I mean, we're heading to mid-80s, which is my era.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I mean, it's a straightforward storyline, embroiled within the Cold War setting.
Which you love.
Which I love.
Which you love.
And
it was quick.
It was quick, action-filled.
Yeah. It was action-filled, it was quick. There wasn't at one point where you think, oh, God, I'm bored. Or whatever, it just...
Yeah, I definitely wasn't bored doing it. What are you giving it out of 7?
I was going to give it 7, actually. Because I really love it. I think it's really, really good. And plus, it was the last one I saw at the cinemas.
Oh.
Until I seen GoldenEye. Because I give View to a Kill a miss.
Mm. View to a Kill probably would have been alright at the cinema. It's maybe the only setting for it.
It might have looked better at the cinema. But,
actually...
What about alternative Bond?
Did you have a think? I've got some good ones.
Oh, Richard Gere, because he was a sex symbol in the 80s. The Sun used to put Richard get moff gear.
Why?
Get your gear off.
Get Richard, your gear get off. Moff.
Richard, get your gear off. Yeah. Jeff Bridges, Nigel Haver. Oh yes, English gent.
Yeah.
He done spy movies in the 1930s. I think, remember, he done a series and all that. And he was quite good in that. He could have been good.
For my alternative Bond, got Richard Gere because he wasn't super famous, but he was getting quite famous by that point, and huge sex symbol. Jeff Bridges, who I just love. I can't remember if he'd already starred in Starman by this point, but Jeff Bridges would have been very good. I think I'm just going to go with Jeff Bridges. I mean, like you said, Nigel Havers, if we're wanting to keep it British.
Yeah.
He's very good. Was he in Coronation Street for a while?
Oh, he was, actually. Yeah, I think he's played a philanderer. Somebody who cheats on women, I can't remember the name.
Was he a philanderer?
That was it.
Was he not Conan Reader of our pension or something?
He was. Oh, Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
I quite like Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
I saw an interview with him late. He's just nearly 80 on. He still looks in good nick.
Dennis Quaid?
Dennis Quaid, yeah.
Show me a picture of Dennis Quaid. Oh. Because now I'm thinking...
Dennis Quaid?
Oh, yeah. Same person. Dennis, I don't think he's nearly 80. Can't
Is he?
Be. I refuse to believe that.
Oh, go on. I'd go with Dennis Quaid.
Oh, that is...
He could do action movies.
He's very good at action.
That would be my alternate Bond, Dennis Quaid.
That is a good one. Join us next time for A View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill. If you've liked this episode, please tune in next time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at BackToBondPodcast and email BackToBondPodcast@gmail.com.